all the time. That's what we believe at Discovery Church. For those of you that are here for the first time, I'm glad to see you. I've been praying for you. It's good to see you today. And if I haven't met you yet, let's do that after service today. What do we believe at Discovery Church? We believe that God is good.
Amen.
We believe he's good all the time. We believe that his grace is sufficient. We believe that he's a healing God. We believe he's a providing God. We believe he's a merciful God. We believe he's a restoring God. We believe he's still in the midst of us as temples and that he works miracles through us. While we were worshiping today, the Lord spoke to my heart that somebody here has been struggling with some sort of a hip, deterioration was the word that I got. Some sort of a hip deterioration. Maybe you've even gotten some sort of a diagnosis about deteriorating in your hip, and it's caused pain to even radiate from your hip, even into the back. Anybody here want to take the word for healing today for that? You want to take that for you in the name of the Lord? And in spite of diagnosis, maybe even the doctor may have said something to you about that, but the Lord says today's the day to go ahead and receive the healing, to go ahead and receive restoration, to go ahead and receive freedom from that pain. See, God's good. God's good. He wants you to just to take everything that's so graciously been provided. That's what we're about here at Discovery Church. We're about coming unto Jesus just as we are. We're about looking unto him and receiving all the goodness from him. You know, for a lot of my life, I tried to live up to a certain set of standards or tried to work really hard. I'd heard the good news that Jesus loved me from a time I was just a little girl. And yet I felt like I never measured up to that standard. Well, the reality of it is none of us did, and none of us could. But thanks be unto God that Jesus is, and Jesus did. So now we can just receive from him the grace because he paid the price, because he's enough. We can just look unto him, and we can just receive the goodness of God. So why don't you just do that today? Any area that maybe's been a struggle, any area of maybe that's seeming like lack in your life, just go ahead and receive from the goodness of God. And we give him thanks in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen? Wow, I'm excited this morning. And man, I want you to stand up this morning. Praise God. There we go. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Stand this morning and turn in your Bibles with us to Hebrews chapter 4. We've been talking about religion versus a relationship. And, you know, most of us, for the most part, have been raised in religion, but not a relationship. We've been raised in this area of do's, and if you do real good, you might get something. But if you do real bad, you might get something too. So God wants you to understand grace this morning and to be aware of how much he loves you today. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go there, guys, if we can. We're going to read down through here a little bit. So Hebrews 4, 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Now, I believe Paul wrote this book, and he was writing to the Hebrews, to the Jews, who were trying to live up or go under the law in order to receive and attain from God perfection. But you cannot receive and attain from God perfection trying to live up to the law because you can't live up to the law. Only Jesus was able to fulfill the law. But still, people today are still trying to do this. And so Paul was writing to the Hebrews there to say, look, there's no way that you can enter into his rest trying to struggle and do religious acts to live up to the law. He said, therefore, since, okay, for we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So how we enter his rest is by believing. By believing. Very simple. The word says we enter his rest by believing. You're all still with me this morning? although the works were finished. Everything's been finished from the foundation of the world. Next verse. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again, in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore remains that some must enter, it is those whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Because of disobedience. Let's go down here. We're going to finish this up real quick. And again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. Hold up your Bible this morning. We're going to say it like we mean it today, all right? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, chill, baby. Would you do that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. So religion is all about doing. It's all about performance. It's performance-based. And you know, our society is so performance-based. It's all about working to accomplish this, to accomplish that. But Jesus is about rest. He's about resting in him. God wants you to be at rest. You can be active on the outside, but still be at rest on the inside. God wants you to be at rest. Amen? So a lot of times when you come into grace and you start understanding grace and all that God's provided for us through the cross, many people struggle and they say, well, what do I do? Do I do anything? Yes, you do. You rest. That's what you do. How do you rest? By believing that the work has already been done. But what about prayer and fasting and all those things? Do we still do those things? Yes, but we do them from the perspective of rest. Hello? And a lot of people get so confused because it's like, well, what do I do now? I've entered God's grace. I've received God's grace. So what do I do? Well, you rest. God wants you to be at rest. Amen? And there's a vast difference between trusting our efforts and trusting what Jesus did. There's a vast difference when we're trusting our efforts to be righteous. We'll never get to that place. You'll never get to the place where you feel like, wow, I'm perfect now. I'm so righteous out of my own efforts. Why? Because you cannot get there, and God purposed it so you couldn't. Why? So you could trust in him. But man, how we struggle sometimes. Turn to someone and say, quit struggling. So he says here, it remains that some must enter in to whom the gospel was first preached and did not enter in because of unbelief. What allows us to enter into his rest? Believing that Christ's finished work is done for us. When we believe that Christ's finished work is done for us, we enter the rest that God has provided. Jesus now is our Sabbath. There's still religion that teaches you don't need to do anything on Saturday. But I want to tell you, Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest every day. Monday, Tuesday, happy day. Wednesday, Thursday, happy day. Saturday, la da da. Jesus is our rest. Y'all don't remember that movie, do you? That show, amen. What is that called? Happy Days? Hey! Every day is a happy day. When you enter God's rest, you are very, very happy. Praise God. We went to IKEA. Has anybody seen the new IKEA here? You know, and we walked through IKEA, and we have been looking for several, I mean, since we have this house, Holly's been looking for a little, like, a drawer to throw keys in and stuff up front when you enter into the house. And so, you know, we walked through there. She didn't really want to go. She wouldn't fight the crowd. I said, oh, come on, baby, where's your adventure? And so we went to IKEA, you know, and we picked out and she found it. We both found it. I said, look, this is it. This is it. You can put your shoes in, you know, and she doesn't like clutter, and I'm kind of a clutter guy. I like clutter. I know where everything is in clutter. You may not know where it is, but I know where it is most of the time. So we went to IKEA, and we had a great time and walked around. She found this little piece, and I loaded it up, and it was really nice. It was all put together, and I'm thinking, this is great. It's all put together. It's really nice. So we get it home, and I open this thing up, and it's not all put together. And it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, there was a, it's just big. And there was this bag of screws and nuts and bolts, and it's like, oh my gosh. You know, I got down and I got the instructions out. And, you know, I had to go through each detail and everything, and I was working. Holly would tell you, I was working. And I'm thinking, wow. You know, I thought this thing was going to be all together, but it's not. And, I mean, it was so many pieces. I ain't kidding. I mean, I couldn't believe how many pieces you could get in such a small little, you know, it's like, and there, it was like, all. Oh, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm glad your work is done. Only thing I have to do is just receive what you've already done. I don't have to work anymore at trying to be perfect because you are perfect. Because you took my place, only thing I do is receive everything that you've done for me. Amen. And I'm thinking, man, if somebody would have just put that together for me, I would have paid them. And I'm so glad that Jesus has already paid the price to put you together. So you can turn to somebody this morning and say, you know what? In fact, the Bible says that all things consist in him. All things hold together in him. Turn to somebody this morning and say, I'm not a bunch of pieces. I'm held together in him. Hallelujah. In fact, turn to somebody and say, I'm not falling apart today. Y'all, you just thought you were. I'm not falling apart today. I'm held together in him. In him, his grace has made me complete. In him, his grace has made me sufficient. In him, I have everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness today, and he's put it all together. And you know what? Besides that, when God puts it together, he doesn't make junk. He has perfected my spirit forever. Wow. Amen. Some of you have just been struggling. You've been struggling to work it out. And we're going to talk a little bit about that if I get down to it this morning. What is rest? Rest is peace. Rest is the peace. The word peace in the Hebrew is shalom. Nothing lacking. You know, I got down last night to that last few bolts, and I'm praying, Lord, I pray there's nothing lacking here. Have you ever put something together and you found out something was lacking and that was the key thing that you needed and it just wasn't going to happen if it wasn't there? Well, the word rest says nothing lacking, nothing broken. You know, Jesus has done such a perfect job that there's nothing lacking and nothing broken in him. Amen. We are all together. In fact, the Bible says we are seated together with him in heavenly places. Do you know where you are right now, your position? Your position in Christ is above only and not beneath. You're seated. You're at rest. The priests could never seat. They could never sit when they were doing the work in the temple, in the tabernacle. They could never sit down. Once they entered into the tabernacle to make the sacrifice and the offering, there was no seats in the tabernacle. But the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and you and I are seated with him at rest. You are resting with him today. Everything is okay. It's going to all work out. Be at ease. Amen. Be at peace today. Nothing lacking, nothing broken, no screw messing. Amen. You're not a French fry short of a happy meal. Everything is good. Praise God. Just be at rest in him this morning. Wow. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26:3. Look at this. How do we be at rest, Pastor, when all this stuff's going on? How are we at rest this morning? Isaiah 26:3 says this. You will keep him in perfect shalom. Shalom. You will keep him in perfect shalom. Perfect peace. Perfect shalom. How does that happen? Whose mind is what? Stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. When you're trusting in him, your mind's on him. You're not about to fall apart. You're not about to have a breakdown. No, your mind is stayed on him. You have the peace of God. The Bible says, cast your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Now, if you don't know that he cares for you, and you think and have a perspective of God is always out to get you, then you're going to be in trouble with this scripture. But I want to tell you this morning, God's not out to get you. He's out to bless you. God is out to bless you. amen, not out to get you. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus so that you and I wouldn't have to experience that wrath. He took it for us so you and I could experience his grace and love. Turn to somebody and say, be at peace today. This is for you. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go there, verse 3 a second this morning. Hallelujah. Anytime we try to do something outside of Christ, it is a work of the flesh. So we must do everything in Christ. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go to verse 3. Can we do that? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We walk in this body. We have a body, we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and we have a spirit. That spirit of you is what's actually saved, born again. That spirit of you is what becomes perfect. The flesh is not perfect. The soul is being worked on as we allow the Word of God to transform it into what we have in the spirit. So your soul isn't perfect. So how do you stay at rest? By keeping his mind stayed on him. So we're not warring according to this flesh, according to the battle out there. For listen, he answers the sentence here with the next verse. Look what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal thinking, fleshly thinking, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a fortified thought that you have believed. Some of you have been raised to believe different things, and because people have spoken over you different things, you have developed a philosophy of life and a thought that's become a stronghold. Some of you were raised to think that you'll never amount to anything, and God says, hey, you are a success already, and you don't even know it. Some of you were raised to say you're stupid, or you're an idiot, or, you know, all these different things that we have accepted sometimes have become a stronghold in our life. God says, listen, you can pull the strongholds down. You can get rid of strongholds. When you find who you are in Christ, the strongholds have to go. Listen to this. Our weapons are mighty, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. How does something start in your life in a negative way that disturbs your peace? It starts with a thought. Everything starts with a thought. You would never be depressed if it didn't start with a thought. You've got to allow the thought to come into your head. Now, you may not prevent it from coming in, but you can prevent it from staying there. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. You can prevent. How do you do it? Well, you don't fight it with another thought. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You overcome the thought with the Word of God. The Word of God is what pulls down the strongholds. When I open my mouth and I begin to identify with who I am not depressed. The Bible says that I am far from oppression. I'm not lacking. The Bible says, what does the Bible say? When the enemy comes to you and says, hey, you're lacking in an area. The Bible says, no, I'm not lacking in any area. I don't lack any good thing. Amen. Because God's so good to me. The Bible says he supplies my needs according to his riches and glory. So I don't take a thought by a thought. I take a thought by speaking what God's word and identifying what God's word says about me. Oh, come on, somebody. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So the flesh is a mindset that goes against the Word of God. The flesh thought, the thought that I don't have enough, I'll never be good enough, I'll never make it. All of those thoughts are against God's Word. But when you know and have and understand what God says about you, how good God is towards you, man, your thought life begins to line up with his word, and you experience all the peace that God has inside of you right now. It's already there. It's already been deposited in you. The spirit is opposite of this mindset. The spiritual battle is fought in our minds. Everything happens between your two ears. I forgot who it was, a great golfer says, you know, golf isn't like in distance or yard. Golf can be measured in about 5 or 6 inches, and that's right between your ears. So for you golfers, they're going to Top Golf, take a hint, right? So right in between your ears. So listen, let's look at Romans 4, 1 and 2, because what happens when we struggle sometimes when we're trying to understand God's grace and God's rest? Does it mean I'm inactive? I don't do anything? No. Paul said, I labor more, yet not I, but God's grace is laboring within me. When we come into grace, it doesn't mean that we just stop being active, but what is faith? Faith is always active. There's always a corresponding action to grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is what God has provided for us. Healing, spirit life, Zoe life, hello, prosperity, total life prosperity. God has provided all that for us. So what is grace? That's what God has done. What is faith? It's our response to what God has done. Faith always has actions. Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? Romans 4:1-2. Romans 4:1-2. Are you listening to me this morning? What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Was it according to the flesh? No, for Abraham was justified by works. He has something to boast about, but not before God. Abraham wasn't justified, the father Abraham wasn't justified by works, trying to live up to some law. Abraham was justified how? Abraham was justified by faith. But out of his faith came a corresponding action. Flesh and works are used synonymously in this verse. Works of the flesh are efforts to obtain something that Jesus has already obtained. Turn to somebody and say, do you realize God's already got your peace? Okay, can you turn to somebody and say, do you realize it's already been paid for? In fact, do you realize what you have inside of you because of Jesus? Inside your spirit, you have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Every need that you have has already been manifested and done on the cross. We're not Christian doing, we're Christian beings. We receive all the goodness that God has done, and it's already been deposited in our born-again spirit. And what we do is we appropriate that, we receive that, we have an action, corresponding action, and that action is faith. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So works of the flesh are trying to get Jesus to do something that he's already done. And I see this so much in the body of Christ. Oh, Jesus, if I pray hard enough, you'll heal someone. Well, what people don't realize is that God's already provided healing, and it's not about praying hard enough. It's about simply believing what God has provided. Oh, come on. Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? So religion teaches us we must meet multiple demands before God will move. You know, if the moon's right one night, and I'm fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm just crying out, then God might move in my situation. And what people don't understand is God moved 2,000 years ago. That's why Jesus uttered those famous words on the cross when he said, it is finished. It is done. It's been already provided for you. Only thing you got to do is come and eat. Amen? Jesus said, come and dine. Praise the Lord. He says he sets a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. Amen? However, our mindset should be the belief that we are justified not by our works to be righteous, but by what Jesus has done, because he is righteous. Wow. There's two types of faith that is, or two types of works in the Bible. Those works that are trying to be justified by the law and the work of faith, simply the action of believing. There's two kinds of works. Works of the flesh, works of faith. Works of the flesh are designed to create a relationship with God. Works of faith result from a relationship with God. Therefore, we're not fighting for victory any longer. We're fighting from victory. There's a vast difference when you know you're already won. When you know you already run, you're at rest. Oh, come on, somebody. When you know you already won, you're at rest. You're not battling anymore. Turn to someone and say, quit struggling. What happens when we focus on ourselves? When we start to focus on ourselves and not focus on God, we start to struggle, man. But when you focus on God, everything begins to change around. Let's go to James for just a moment. I'm not going to keep you guys too long today, but I want to take you here because James is an interesting book. James was written primarily to the Hebrew believers. So James is writing to them. Look what he says in chapter 2, verse 14 through 21. What does it profit someone says they have faith and does not have works? Can that type of faith save them? Faith alone without works is what? It's dead. Was not our father Abraham justified by works? Now, what I love to use in this scripture, when we think of works, we're thinking of efforts, we're thinking of struggle. No, it's action. It's not a struggle. It's not a hard thing. It's an action. Faith always requires a response, an action. Amen? There's a little lady that she had lived in this apartment building, and across the street for many years, there was a bar. And that bar stayed up all, like, to 4 in the morning. And she would wake up in the morning just, you know, hearing people come out of that bar. And for years, she said she never got sleep. And all of a sudden, she had another little lady come in and moved in next to her, and they began to talk. And she found out that the lady that moved in was a Christian and a believer. And so she began to tell her, she said, you know, there's this bar across the street, and I've been praying. I just can't get any rest, and I've been praying for years. It just closed down and shut down. And the lady said, well, I'll start agreeing with you in prayer. That very next morning, she woke up to the sound of fire trucks and everything, and she looked out her window, and that bar was on fire and was burning to the ground. And she went over to her neighbor and knocked on her door and said, you know, I can't believe this. I've been praying for years that that bar would finally close or move or something. And you know, all of a sudden you come in and start agreeing with me and it shuts down. Oh, she said, you know, that's no problem. She said, there's just a difference between me and you. And she said, well, what's that? She said, I put legs on my prayers. You got to think about that. There's a difference. She put some action. Hello? She put some action with it. Amen? It's so interesting because when we come into grace, we think, some of you will get that later on today. I know you will. Turn to somebody and say, yes, I'm real sharp as a beach ball. Amen. So faith always has a corresponding action. You know, the Bible says here in James, he said, you believe in one God? That's really good. The demons believe and tremble. But it's interesting when we talk about the word action. So action is an interesting word. And here Abraham was justified by action. True faith always is acted upon. By grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast, the Bible says. So belief is a matter of the heart. Our actions are a result of what we believe. Our actions are a result of what we believe. If you believe in your heart, the Bible says, faith we believe in our heart, and out of our heart we have a corresponding action. It's no longer a labor to get God to do something. We already know it's done, but we apply an action to our faith. Amen. Come on, somebody. By itself and without faith, action will kill you. Because you're laboring to do something that's already done. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. James 2:18, a person will say, you have faith, I will show, and I have works, show me your faith without your actions, and I will show you my faith that is working, my faith that is in action. Amen. So with the heart, a person believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of that flows the issues of life. So what we believe from our hearts give birth to corresponding action. What you're believing in your heart is going to give birth to corresponding action. Right believing leads to right living. If you believe right, you're going to live right. Not only will you live right, but you'll experience Zoe life. Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? Amen. So the scripture said, Abraham believed God and was counted to him righteousness. For those who work, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Romans 4:1-5. To those who do not work but believe, him who justifies the ungodly, that person's faith is counted as righteousness. Abraham was not declared righteous by works of the law, but simply by faith. He put his faith into action. Y'all with me this morning? Wow. Look at Genesis 5:5. We're going to close in just a moment. In order to rest, we must stand firm in our faith. That's what the Bible says. Our self-efforts are insufficient. We stand firm in what we believe. I was talking to somebody this morning, said, Pastor, you know, sometimes I'm believing and something comes instantly, and other times it seems like I'm just, you know, what am I doing? Well, you know what you're doing? You're resting in faith. The Bible says after you have received, what do? You rest. Patience is faith employed. Patience is faith employed. If you haven't seen it manifested yet, you know, the Bible talks about seed, time, and harvest. How many has ever heard that scripture? Anybody ever heard that scripture? It's seed time harvest. A lot of us want seed time harvest. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. But really, anybody ever want that besides Pastor? Man, I plant that seed, man. We know, like, come on, you know. Seed time harvest. Yes, praise God. So what do? We employ faith by resting. That's our patience. Knowing that God is working things on our behalf, knowing that we already have it, and when you already got something, you're more prone to rest instead of try to work to get it. Wow. The works of the law would have required Abraham to obtain the promise through his performance, but his faith made him righteous in the eyes of God. Turn to Genesis 22, 1 through 10. I'm going to try to finish quickly here. I'm at 32,000 feet and descending, so amen. All right, here we go. So Genesis 22, 1 through 10. Little story of Abraham. I want you to see something here. It's so interesting. And when we talk about works, action, and faith, and all the stuff that, you know, what do? Once you get saved, are you just passive? No, you're not passive. Once you're a believer, you're never passive. Once you're a believer, you're never passive. Once you are a believer, you are never passive. Am I motivated to work by performance? No, I'm motivated by action through my faith. Out of my faith, I respond to the goodness of God. I give out of my faith, not because I'm trying to get blessed. I'm already blessed. Because I'm already blessed, I can give. Y'all need to know how blessed you are. Turn to somebody and say, do you know how blessed you are right now? Say, I'm really blessed. Say, in fact, you're sitting next to a blessed person whether you know it or not. Turn to somebody on your left and say, I am highly blessed. In fact, do you know that not only am I highly blessed, I am highly favored. And in fact, do you know what? Jesus loves me more than you. Because I'm his favorite. That's what John said. John said, hey, I am the disciple that Jesus loved. Look, it's in the Bible. He loved all the other ones, but John knew that he loved him. Would you just start realizing what you have and how blessed you are? You wouldn't grumble, complain, or gripe, or get down in the mully grubs, everywhere that is. If you're from the South, you know that term. You are blessed today. Let's look at this story real quick, all right? Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, And he said what? Faith always responds to the voice of God. Always responds to the voice of God. Then he said, take now your son, your only son. Does this sound like somebody we know? For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only son, Isaac, whom you what? Whom you love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there at the burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham said, well, Lord, if that's really you, let a bird fly by right now. God, if that's really you, let a penny fall right now. Have you ever done that before? How stupid can you get and still breathe? Hello? No, we don't do that. We don't put out fleece. We live by faith. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God told him. Then on the third day, isn't that interesting? When did Jesus rise? On the third day. Hallelujah, man. God, you're so good. Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took a fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and said, Daddy? Hey, Dad, what's going on here, man? He said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, hey, Dad, look, the fire and the wood. But, Dad, we're missing something here. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You know what? He was a pretty sharp kid, wasn't he? And Abraham said, God will, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb of a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the altar and bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife, and slay his son. Wow. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay hand on your lad or do not do anything, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket and his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Wow. Here is Abraham's corresponding action of faith. Went up to offer up his son and got ready to take his life, and God already provided a lamb for him. And he called the place Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God is your provider. It's already been provided. What was Abraham's response? Can you go back to that verse where it said that we're going up to worship? Can you do that? Can you find us? Just back up a little bit. I didn't catch it, Aaron. Thank you so much for doing that. I want to show you something real quickly here. So what is our response? What do we do out of faith? Verse 5, brother. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Abraham had such confidence in God and in the faith that he had in the Lord that he knew even if he slayed his son, that God would raise him up again. And he said, we will come back to you. Not only that, notice what he said. I'm going up to work. I'm going up to, it's going to be so hard. I'm going up to work really hard at this. No. What did he say? I'm going up to what? Our response out of the action of faith and grace is always worship. You hear what I'm saying? Our response out of grace, our action, our activity, if you want to call it, out of grace is now always worship. It's, you know, it's kind of like these guys up here, man, our musicians, I love our musicians. Are they awesome? Give them a good hand clap of praise. Now, if you don't know anything about Jeff, I want to tell you about Jeff. I love Jeff. Some of you know Jeff, and you're laughing already, see? But this guy is a grace guy. He is just an awesome guy. He drives a Harley. Man, hallelujah. I love you, brother. I'm almost jealous, but I'm not. So I live in grace, so, you know. But the thing about Jeff, he's been so faithful, and many of you have, and all of you have, and I know you're grace people, but I'm just picking on him because I know him well in grace. And the thing about Jeff, when he gets up here to play, it's not a work. It's not something I'm trying to just work at. It's because God's been so good to me. Out of that goodness of God, I come up and it becomes a worship. It's an act of worship now, not an act of work. So what Jesus does and what grace has done is it changes our work into worship. Why? Because we know, like Abraham did, that God's already provided for us. And anyway, if he hadn't, we know all things are going to work together to the good for those that love the Lord. Amen? Why? Because now what I do is not a work effort to move God. It's simply a response to what God has done. And what I do now is just a worship. Amen. How cool is worship? Praise God. Anything I do from now on is not a work to move God, but it's a place of worship. Amen. You are now in a place of worship, not works. Oh, amen. Why? Because God's already provided for you everything you need. Let's stand this morning. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Woo! Come on, you can do better than that. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So our response, what is our response now? Our response is worship. It's not works, it's worship. Hallelujah. So right now, the Bible says, why don't we just lift our hands up without wrath or doubting? Why don't you lift them up right now? Would everybody do so? Father, we worship you this morning. Hallelujah. Not because we're trying to get you to move, but Lord, you've already moved. We worship because we're not trying to get blessed, but God, we're already blessed. Hallelujah. And we worship you out of that, God. We're not trying to get something from you, God. We have everything right now in Jesus Christ. By grace we receive it. And God, we thank you for it today. Hallelujah. And we call ourselves blessed. Would you open up your mouth this morning and say, I am blessed. I am favored. In fact, I'm highly favored. Thank you, Lord, for providing everything I need. Everything I need in Jesus Christ. Today I call my family blessed. I call my grandchildren blessed. I call my outlaws blessed. My in-laws blessed. Amen. Lord, I am blessed. Why am I blessed, God? I'm blessed to be a blessing. My response to you, Lord, is not works, but worship. Amen. Lord, I worship you from my heart. My response, because you've been so good to me, God. You've been so good to me, Lord, that I worship you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your eyes closed just a moment. Yeah, give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You bow your head just a moment. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you need something from the Lord, or you need healing from the Lord, or you need to just know that God loves you today, salvation from the Lord, whatever it might be. I want to tell you, it's already there for you. Amen. He loves you already. You're forgiven. Amen. Praise God. Your sin's been forgiven from as far as the east is from the west. Amen. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to receive everything you were talking about this morning. I've been struggling, and today is my day, and no one's looking around. No one's going to embarrass you. We don't believe in that. Grace doesn't embarrass people. Holy Spirit doesn't embarrass people. Amen. He convicts you of your righteousness today. Would you just raise your hand right now and say, I'd like to receive that. Amen. Would you raise your hand, put it up. God bless you. Anybody else this morning? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Man, so many this morning. God bless you. You are so loved today. God bless you. Amen. So many of you today. Oh, you are so loved. Amen. I want you guys, everybody, to pray this prayer with me this morning. When you pray this prayer and you believe it in your heart, your life is going to change forever. Okay? It's going to change forever. Pray with me. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you today for dying for me. Lord, that you rose again from the dead. God, that you bless me and you have forgiven me because of the work of the cross. Today, I receive you into my life. Today, my spirit is changed forever. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Today, Lord, I confess you're my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. And now, Lord, I live for you. I am blessed to be a blessing today. All my sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with at the cross of Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Now, you may go home and look in the mirror, and you may look a little different if you prayed that prayer, but I'm going to tell you where the real change took place. It took place here in your spirit. Your spirit now is perfected forever in Jesus Christ. You are brand new creation. Amen. Brand new creation. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hang on a second, guys. I was going to let you go, but I can't because somebody's holding up notes and all kinds of stuff. Said Blondettes have something this morning, so you guys coming up. Love you guys. Amen.
Well, as the church knows, today's Pastor Appreciation Day. We didn't know that we were going to have a baby dedication on the same day, so we don't want to take the moment. We don't want to hold everybody together. Can't hear me? Can you hear me now? All right. So we just want to be able to love on our pastors today before we go, before the month ends. As for anyone's to guess, you can see the treasures that we have in Pastor Steve and Pastor Holly and even with Pastor Andrew and Kay. And so, Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And that's exactly what we have. We have pastors after God's own heart. And each week come with knowledge and understanding for us. So we thank you for that. As a church body, we've come together to give you guys some gifts and truly for you to be able to know how much we love you. One, there's a journal that, since we don't all have time to go around past the mic and say how much we appreciate you, we've taken the time to write our thoughts down in the book for you guys to read at your
thank
pleasure.
You, brother.
So there's a plaque, or it's not a plaque, but it's a picture frame, sort of like a plaque that we wanted to give to both you and Pastor Steve and Holly to put on your wall, your office, whatever you want to do. And I don't know, you want to read that? So, and then there's a love offering with another card as well for Pastor Holly and Steve. Our heart as a body is to be able to send you guys someplace, for you guys to be able to go someplace and do something, take a trip, whether it be a weekend trip, a week trip. So we're hoping that what's in there, we'll be able to do that. If so, it shouldn't be too far off for you to do that. So as a church body, you know, the best thing we can do for our pastor is pray for him. That's one of the best things. You know, had looked up some facts, and 97% of pastors says, you know, have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by trusted members of their congregation. And so we just declare that that's not going to be here at Discovery Church. So, you know, whatever hurts, past things that you have had, those things in the past, we know that God's grace is sufficient and has healed all those things from you guys. You know, it says that 70% of pastors are depressed. We know that's a lie because if you've seen our pastor up here and talk, we know he's not depressed. But we know that thoughts can enter the mind, that they can be discouraged. And that was another fact that was on. It says 80% of all pastors feel discouraged. So we just come against discouragement. We just continue to encourage you. And we just thank you that you've persevered throughout all these years of your ministry and that you continue to do so. I won't continue to go through some of the other facts, but you all know that, like I said, we need to pray for our pastors so for them to have encouragement, just to have the strength to come out and do what they do each and every week. And Pastor Andrew and Kay, the congregation has not forgotten you guys as well. I apologize. We can't send you guys on a trip, but I want to give you guys a love offering to do something, to have a special day, evening, or whatever as well. So thank you again, and we love you guys.
Wow. You know, Holly, I started this ministry. We took what retirement we had because I'd been in full-time ministry for 30 years, somewhere around there. And we left the denomination to start this place. And we took the retirement money we had and we put into starting this ministry. And God's been faithful to us. You know, I've worked a secular job for 8-9 years now, not taking a salary from the church so that we could have a building to worship in. And so the Lord has allowed us to be able to take some salary because I've been without a secular job now for several months. And so I'm so thankful for that. But I'm so thankful for each of you. You add value to our lives in so many ways that we could not even express out of our heart how much we love you. You know, we've never tried to get up and tote our own horn here or do anything like that. But thank you for people that are part of this body, that are partners with us, that have a heart to bless us. And we can truly say that we love you from the bottom of our heart. It's because of God's grace. And I just know the best is yet to come. And God's just got so much more for each of us as we receive his grace and faith. But you are deeply loved today. And I know Hollywood express that. God bless you guys. Have a Jesus-filled week. Amen. Thank you. Amen.